of the day. I made a huge to-do list. Now who's going to do it? You ever do that? I lay in bed and think of all the things I'm going to do, and then after the day starts, something comes up you weren't even thinking about. You ever been there? We, most of us live there, don't we? Most of us live there. Okay. Before we begin, I wanted to share something that came across our computer the other day. I thought it was made a very good point. Friend of ours sent us this. Several years ago, a preacher from out of state accepted an invitation to come and preach for a church in Houston, Texas. Some weeks after he'd arrived, he had an occasion to ride the bus from his home to the downtown area. When he sat down, he discovered the driver had accidentally given him a quarter too much change. Y'all remember those days, don't you? All right. Okay. I thought several of you did. As he considered what to do, he thought to himself, you'd better give that quarter back. It would be wrong to keep it. And then he thought, oh, forget it. It's only a quarter. Who would worry about such a little amount? Anyway, the bus company gets too much fare anyway. They'd never miss it. Accept it as a gift from God and be quiet. When his stop came, he paused momentarily at the door and then handed the quarter to the driver and said, here, you gave me too much change. The driver, with a smile, replied, aren't you the new preacher in town? Yes, he said. Well, I've been thinking a lot lately about going somewhere to worship, and I just wanted to see what you would do if I gave you too much change. I hope to see you Sunday. When the preacher stepped off the bus, he literally grabbed the nearest light pole, held on, and said, oh God, I almost sold your son for a quarter. Our lives are the only Bible some people ever read. This is a truly scary example of just how much people watch us as Christians and will put us to the test. Always be on guard and remember, you carry the name of Christ on your shoulders when you call yourself Christian. Watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. Watch your habits. They become character. Watch your character. It becomes your destiny. Thought that was that was thought-provoking. Everybody, that reminds you of a song the children would sing. Watch your hands. Watch your hands. What they do. Watch your feet. Watch your feet. Where they go. So on. Yeah. Very interesting. Every day. There's another test. We're in the 14th chapter of Matthew, and we're going to be picking up here in verse 34 where we stopped last week. And be looking ahead at chapter 15 and 16 today. You may remember that in chapter 14 we'd seen the feeding of the 5,000. And then also we had seen Jesus walking on the water and frightening the disciples half to death. And then when he gave them the comforting words that it was him, don't be afraid, then Peter wanted to come walk on water. We talked about that last week. And, of course, he did until he looked around at the boisterous waves and became afraid and began to sink. And and the Lord reached out, of course, and saved him when he cried out to him. And they'd gotten back to the ship. And then verse 33 had said, frog just grabbed me by the vocal cords. And those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And that connects us with where we begin today.
John.
Yes, sir, Rick.
I just want to say a word in defense of Peter. I wouldn't have been getting out of the boat in the first place.
Amen.
I've got to get a little closer to that. Try it again.
I said, in my mind, it's like skydiving. Why get out of a perfectly good airplane?
Yeah. Well.
I mean, he's sitting in the boat.
Yes.
He had enough faith to go out there.
He does. He's the only one that did.
Yes.
He's the only one that did. That's right. Consequently, because he did that, I guess he's the only human other than the Son of God that actually walked on the water. And of course, he was not human at all. And see some of the leadership qualities in him that will really show up later in the book of Acts. But yeah, it's one of the one of my favorite studies is to study Jesus' interaction with Simon Peter from the very first. And when he saw so much potential in him. And all the way through. And this is one of the major chapters, too, where you find that interaction. We'll also get into some of that between Jesus and Peter, of course, in the 16th chapter of the book in just a little while again. But he was... He certainly did show more faith than the others. Verse 34 begins, and when they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick, and begging him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. You remember who else touched the hem of his garment? You remember the lady that was had the issue of blood? Yeah, she had thought. And it also healed them at that time as well. Healed her at that time. When we start chapter 15, Matthew changes subjects and reaches into the area that we want to look at here for a bit about the scribes and the Pharisees. Then the scribes and the Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" So they had reached the point that they had added a number of things that they thought people ought to do. And one of them was going through a ceremonial kind of hand washing. Now, my mom was big on hand washing. How about yours? Did you all get, you know? And you know, if the grandbabies are around and they don't wash before they eat, I'll usually point that out to them. They need to go to the bathroom and wash their hands up. But this is talking about something a little different. This is talking about a kind of ceremonial hand washing that they had prescribed. And it was something that Jesus said it wasn't what God had prescribed. Not that it isn't a good idea to do it, but to require it of others religiously, that is the problem. And he brings up one of their traditions that was causing them to fail to carry out something that God had instructed them to do. And in verse 4, he brings that up. "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then they need not honor their father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Yes, sir, Jeff?
What is the death that they're talking about?
Pardon?
What is it when they say die the death? What is that?
When they say die the death.
Oh, die the death. Okay. My version just says put to death. There's a reference there from Exodus 21:17 in my Bible, if you want to turn and look at that. Exodus 21:17.
It says the same thing.
It's in the list of commandments and instructions that God is giving to Israel in verse 17. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That's a long way from where we are with discipline today, isn't it? But parents were supposed to be respected. And it was a serious thing. To not honor your father and your mother. And we see where things are today. So that's what it's referring to in this passage. That God wanted them to care for their parents and honor them all their life. Now, Paul uses this same principle in 1 Timothy chapter 5. He brings up a situation about widows and their need for care. There was no Social Security or anything like that in those days, and if someone did not have family, they were in a very serious situation when they were unable to provide for themselves. And Paul brings it up this way to Timothy as he talks about how he should instruct people concerning that. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. So that was a responsibility that the family had. And that's what Jesus is talking about here, about what these Pharisees in binding their tradition.
Don't you say that. You want me to help? I got it. I got it. I got it. church.
As he was walking out.
He got up at church and he hit his head earlier on the van outside. And so he's very,
very disoriented.
Did he pass out? No, he fell.
He looks like he's going to pass out.
But he looks like he's going to pass out. How old's Joey?